I have noticed it is getting cold outside. That's because it's the winter time, and when it is cold outside, we have all sorts of tricks to keep us warm. One of the tricks to keep us warm that a lot of people have asked me about is hand warmers, or what are they, hot hands? You know what I'm talking about? They have these little packets of things that skiers use them, that you shake up the packet and then it releases a chemical, and the chemical interaction causes it to become hot, and you stick it inside your gloves and it keeps your fingers nice and cozy and warm when they're exposed to oxygen. On a certain level, most of them last a few hours. They rise over 100 degrees, and they have like these iron fillings with cellulose, activated carbon, whatever other different types of chemicals. And people want to know, are you allowed to use these on Shabbos? Let's say you have to walk to a simcha 2 miles away on a freezing cold day. So this could be very, very helpful for a person on Shabbos. Or, for example, a chayal who's doing shmirah up in the north or something, and he's got an 8-hour shift overnight, and it's freezing. So can he use these things? Or another example, there's something called, and I may be mispronouncing this, Raynaud's disease, which causes some areas of your body, like your fingers, your extremities, your toes, to feel numb and cold in response to any sorts of cold temperatures or even stress. And very often, the arteries and the blood supply to your skin narrows, limiting your blood circulation, and this could certainly be helpful for such a person. Can you do it on Shabbos? So it turns out, first of all, everything I'm getting, my friend Rabbi Isaac Rice sent me an article that was written in Yeshurun, volume Chaf Aleph, from Rav Menachem Shimmel, who wrote this article about this topic. And he essentially identifies three basic issues when it comes to this topic. First of all, bishul. Is it considered cooking? Now, generally speaking, unless something gets to Yad Saledes Bo, it would not be a violation of bishul. 100 degrees is not Yad Saledes Bo. 120 degrees is very possibly Yad Saledes Bo. Now, you might say, bishul, this can't be bishul. You're not eating it. It's not a food. It's not edible. It would be poisonous, probably. But the Gemara in Shabbos Avayin Beis tells us that bishul applies even to non-food items. If someone takes a peg and puts it in an oven to harden, or these types of things, a barrel to harden in an oven, you're not going to eat the barrel. It's nevertheless a violation of bishul, because bishul is defined as anything that creates a qualitative change by the use of heat in the item. So maybe this would still be subject to bishul, and this really depends on whether you view something that heat that's generated through a chemical reaction as cooking. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about microwaves, where Rav Moshe writes that he would think that bishul in a microwave would be bishul d'oraisa, meaning let's say you're in a hospital, God forbid, and you need someone to do a malacha for you. Is it better to have the guy turn on the microwave rather than to be mevashel? Is that a shvus to shvus? Because he's not really being mevashel, he's just using microwaves. So Rav Moshe, in one of his less accurate predictions of the future, said that microwaves are derech bishul. He said, and he was writing this like in the 70s, where no one, I remember as a child when we got our first microwave, it was like the coolest thing. I'm that old. But the Ramosha in the 70s, no one had microwaves in the 70s. So someone was showing him this cutting edge technology where you could take a potato and put it in there for 5 minutes and you have a baked potato in just 5 minutes. It's crazy. You don't have to leave it in the oven for an hour. And Ramosha said, this is unbelievable. This is the next thing. Kitchens of the future will not have ovens, will not have stoves. This will be derech bishul. So that didn't really work out that way. But we do use it a lot. So he thinks that that would be considered derech bishul. So he's open to the possibility that something other than heat cooking could be bishul, but it would have to be derech bishul. And over here, l'chora, it's not derech bishul at all. You know, in volume 20 of Yeshurun, the same author discusses those labriut meals. You know, that they, if you're ever traveling, and they sell these meals where you heat them up, also by use of one of these chemical packs. So he says that if there's no other fruit available, you're allowed to use it, since it's a machlokas about whether it would be bishul or not. Rav Yashiv is apparently quoted in Ashriya Ish as saying that it is considered cooking because it does generate heat, but more pashtus, I would think, that Rebelski writes in Shulchan Alevi in Parakeh, that it's more like Bishul Bechama. The Gemara in Shabbos says Bishul Bechama is not the Derech Bishul, and therefore it's not a violation of Lo Sivaru Eish or of Bishul on any level. Toldos Chama is in the Bishul Midrabanan. Right, let's say you live in Eilat or something, or Phoenix, and the sun is extremely strong, and you bought a black car because you were wondering why it was so cheap, because no one in Phoenix wants a black car because it just soaks in all the heat. And in the hot Phoenix sun in August, you can cook an egg on the heat of your car. You see like little insects exploding from the heat. You know, it's so hot. So you don't actually see little insects exploding. Mm-hmm. I've been there. But you can cook an egg on the heat of the car. So that's what we call toldos chama. The car was heated by the sun, so that would be in violation of Bishul Midrabanan. But straight in the Chamas is not Bishul at all. So the Pashtus L'chor is it's not a violation of Bishul. Second potential issue is Makeh B'Patish. Taking something, Makeh B'Patish is a difficult malacha to define. It means that you make the final hammer blow. So it doesn't fit any of the other categories of any of the other malachos, but you've completed something. You've made something significant. So you took something that wasn't usable and made it usable. So is this Makeh B'Patish? There is a Ran that says that Makeh B'Patish is not really its own malacha, but anything that you finish off is included in Makeh B'Patish. The Gemara, for example, at the beginning of Makos and in Beitza and Shabbos, discusses you have a shirt that you buy that comes without the neck hole already made. You have to sort of open it up to complete the neck hole in the shirt so that, you know, you can see, so that you can pull the shirt over your head. That might be Makeh B'Patish, that you're finishing off an object. However, every example in Shas that we have of Makeh B'Patish is you're finishing off a kli of some sort. A chemical reaction, l'chora, is not a kli. Now, it should be noted, the Yerushalmi in Paraklal Gadol lists many things that are not kelim and includes them in Makeh B'Patish. So l'chora, if you hold like the Yerushalmi, you may have a problem of Makeh B'Patish over here. Mishnah Berurah just points out that in all the discussions that we have about cooking and about preparing salty fish and things like that, no one ever discusses Makeh B'Patish, meaning it doesn't. They talk about all other sorts of malachos, but it doesn't seem that it would be Makeh B'Patish because probably because we pass like the Bavli that it only applies to Kalim. Furthermore, the Chazon Ish assumes that electricity, use of electricity, is Makeh B'Patish. Why? Because what do? I take my my George Foreman grill, I don't know why I thought of that utensil of all the utensils, or my sandwich maker, and I plug it into the wall. Before I plugged it into the wall, you know what it was good for? Absolutely nothing. It's good for nothing before I plug it into the wall. Second I plug it in, all of a sudden, magically, it's fantastic. It does great things for me. So that's that l'chora is Makeh B'Patish. That's the argument of the Chazon Ish and Tzitz Eliezer. Rav Shlomo Zalman is not convinced by this at all. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no. When it's not plugged in, it's not broken. It's just meant to be plugged and unplugged. That's the way you use it. It's like if you open the door to your house, it's not that the door's not working anymore. It's just not blocking anything from coming in or from seeing inside, because when it's open, it's not supposed to. But when you close it, then it's supposed to do what it does. So that's just the way it's supposed to be used. And hand warmers also, l'chora, that's just the derech shimush of the derech tashmisho of the hand warmers, is to break the packet and then heat it up. To call it Makeh B'Patish may not be so pashut. Makeh B'Patish may, Rashi in Shabbos Davayin Zayin points out, may only be if you're actually doing the Makeh B'Patish. You may have to be active. But if you put a barrel in the oven, it's not Makeh B'Patish. We only discussed about Bishul, but it's not Makeh B'Patish. Rashi in Shabbos Davayin Zayin writes, because the oven is doing the Makeh B'Patish. You're not doing the Makeh B'Patish. You've put it in an environment where that's going to happen. That's the whole way these things work, is that you expose them to oxygen. You expose them to the air, and then it happens on its own. So all you're doing is creating the exposure. Final hammer blow is you're actively banging the last nail in. So it would seem that this would not be Makeh B'Patish either. The third and probably most major issue is molded. The Gemara Maseches Beitza talks about taking a beged that doesn't have a particularly good smell and perfuming the beged, you know, putting incense, burning incense, and allowing the smoke to make the beged smell nice, and that's molid reyach. You created something new. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about squeezing snow or ice and having water drip out. So the Rambam says that's a violation of schita. Rashi says no, it's a violation of molid, that you're creating a new entity. Here you had a solid and you're now turning it into a liquid, that's going to be called molid. Molid is not so easy to figure out exactly when you're violating, when you're not. We normally assume changing the form of something is a violation of molid. But what exactly is called a change of form? Like, there's a major discussion about ice cubes, whether making ice cubes on Shabbos is a form of molid. One could argue, no, I'm just putting the tray of water into the freezer. I put it in a cold environment, the freezer's doing it. That's nolad. It's something that's happening on its own, which the Ramaz Machmir, like the Balachumas, that even nolad might be a problem. Something like a Beitza Shenolda, that even if I'm not doing it, it's just happening on its own. But Meikra didn't really nolad would be mutter, that it's only if you're molded something, if you're creating the something. Over here, you are being molded the heat. So when exactly, though, like is spritzing some whipped cream out of a can, where inside the can it's liquid, outside of the can it's solid? Not exactly. It's, you know, somewhere in between. It's like a mush. So is that called being molded something? So post can debate. I'm not sure exactly how do you define these issues. The post can discuss, for example, making seltzer on Shabbos or blowing bubbles on Shabbos. If you want to blow bubbles with your kids. So I think Shmir Shabbos, from Marcus told me yesterday, is machmir l'chachil about blowing the bubbles for adults. For kids, he says, okay. But because that molid, I thought maybe seltzer would be different. I think most post can make on the seltzer, even though the Marsham in Chelek Aleph Sim Kuf Mem is machmir. I think most post can make on the seltzer on Shabbos because That's even less than blowing bubbles. Blowing bubbles, you're taking liquid and you're making just bubbles. Over here, you're incorporating bubbles into the liquid, into the drink. So it's very difficult to really figure out what exactly is molded, what's not. Electricity may be a violation of molded. Rosh Shlomo Zalman doesn't think so because he thinks that because we have so little direction in what molded is, we can't really expand it beyond what we know to be molded. So Rabbi Shimel in this article says that given all of these things, given all of these concerns, and the way we address these concerns, he thinks b'makom tzarech gadol, you could definitely use it. But you know, if it's just a matter of, you know, you walk into shul on Shabbos and you want to have the shtick of having hand warmers, not a tzarech gadol. But if you're a chayal on shmirah somewhere or you're a chola, so then certainly it would be mutter. Zalman Chaim Goldberg wrote in a comment to that article that this Rav Shimel wrote. Rav Zalman Chaim writes that he agrees with everything he wrote, but he thinks that atzad yoser tov, you might as well do it with a shinui, shake the thing or hit it with a shinui, so that way you'll be definitely good l'chol adeos. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu is quoted as saying, "No, ein l'cha nolad gadol mizet. This is nolad. This is aser." Rabbi Reis told me he asked Rav Shechter, and Rav Shechter thought that it was indeed a problem of molded. Now, one thing you could for sure do is you can. Someone called me last night actually to ask me this. Can you shake it right before Shabbos if it lasts 6 hours and you just need to go somewhere Friday night when it's cold? So if you do, turn it on, so to speak, before Shabbos, so that would be okay. I would think that it would even be okay. Someone told me that it sometimes loses a little bit of the heat and you have to give it another shake and then it regenerates. I don't know exactly how that works, but I would think that would be mutter as well, because that's not being molded something chadash, that's just enhancing something that already exists. So that's the story with hand warmers on Shabbos.